This is Carlos Sagan bringing you another one of my programs. Today I will focus on Maurice Ravel's Bolero. The movie 10 brought immense popularity to this composition, and in the movie it is considered as an orgasmic piece of music, and in a number of levels, that is right. Ever since its premiere, Bolero has exercised a sort of hypnotic attraction on people, and yet very often it has been vilified by critics. Ravel was a very private, refined, aristocratic man, yet he had a great sense of humor, and his music is very sensuous. Through his mother, a Basque, he developed a great interest in the music of Spain and North Africa. Like Nietzsche, Ravel suffered in the last years of his life from an illness that affected his mind. In 1933, he suffered a nervous breakdown from which he never really recovered, and 4 years later, he died in an insane hospital after an unsuccessful brain operation. The noted American composer Eric Salzman has said that Ravel was a refined classicist who loved to engage in flirtations with vulgarity. And he's very right. These flirtations with vulgarity, in a very aesthetic manner, are very evident in the Bolero. Some of the instruments, for example, saxophones, bassoons, or clarinets, play with a sort of impotent vulgarity, and yet at the same time, in a very delightful, aesthetic way. The Bolero was commissioned in 1928 by the dancer Ida Rubinstein for a very sultry and sensuous solo dance. The scene is a Spanish cafe. The woman climbs atop a table and begins her solo dance, tempting the men around her in a slow, steady crescendo, until the men are virtually driven out of their minds. One of the main problems that Ravel had with the Bolero was to convince conductors to conduct the piece slowly. Once the impatient conductor Arturo Toscanini retorted angrily that if conducted less quickly, the piece would become unendurable. Later, shaking his head, Ravel told his longtime friend and confidant, the conductor Pedro de Freitas Branco, "He will never understand that that is precisely what I wished, that the piece would become unendurable." And his brother recalls that at the performance of the Bolero, a woman in the audience angrily shouted that such a piece could only be the product of an insane mind. Ravel, with an enigmatic smile, said, "That lady, she's the only one who really understood my piece." But the Bolero can also be appreciated in other levels of mysticism and contemporary music. According to the mystics Indrish Shah and Oscar Ichazo, the later the founder of the Arika movement, Ravel's Bolero is based on Sufi ritual music of North Africa, intended to induce special states of consciousness. And Dr. John Lilly, in his book The Center of the Cyclone, has a fascinating account on how Oscar Ichazo used the Bolero in some of his rituals. The disciples lay on the floor in darkness, and through the Bolero they enter in contact with feelings and entities of other levels of reality and consciousness. The noted critic David Hall, writing about the Bolero in 1975, said, "The Bolero is no mere essay in orchestral thrills, let alone over 15 minutes of orchestration without music, as the composer ironically put it, but rather an insidiously hypnotic North African ritual. Perhaps in the context of the current work being done by people such as Terry Riley and Steve Reich, a slow, hypnotic interpretation of the bolero has a validity today that it could not have had in the cultural milieu of 20 or more years ago, unquote. And David Hall is absolutely right. In that musical sense, Ravel was about 50 years ahead of his time. Because in the 1970s, composers such as Reilly, Reich, Glass, Lamont Young, and many others did pioneer a new style of music based on a very slow, gradual, almost hypnotic changes in music, and a style often derived from Eastern mysticism and altered states of consciousness. And in addition to all of this, the bolero is, of course, an absolute masterpiece of the art of orchestration. And in this sense, you have to remember that Ravel was, without any question, a genius. Before presenting to you the bolero, I will give you three brief and very pertinent musical illustrations. First, a sample of Sufi music of North Africa. And notice in this ritual music the hypnotic rhythm and the constant drum in the background. And here I have two brief excerpts of compositions by Steve Reich and Terry Riley, respectively, showing the style of slow, gradual, hypnotic changes that they pioneered in the mid-1970s. There are dozens and dozens of recordings of Ravel's bolero. In my opinion, the best I have heard is one that was recorded in the early 1950s by the Orchestre Théâtre des Champs-Élysées, conducted by one of the closest friends and confidants of Ravel, the Portuguese conductor Pedro de Freitas Branco, a man who followed very closely the musical as well as the spiritual intent of the composer. This recording, by the way, won a much coveted Grand Prix du Disque. Unfortunately, the recording is old, but I ask you to specially listen to the music. And for better quality, for this broadcast, I was able to obtain a direct copy from the master tape made by the French company. So here now this remarkable version of Ravel's Bolero. And with that remarkable performance of Ravel's Bolero, conducted by his longtime friend and confidant, the Portuguese conductor Pedro de Freitas Branco, I come to the end of this program. And this has been your host and producer, Carlos Eigen. Thank you very much for your attention.